Recently, a New York Times investigation revealed that famed farm labor activist and Mexican-American civil rights leader Cesar Chavez was accused of being a sexual predator by a number of women and girls. The investigation said he groomed girls and sexually abused women, including Dolores Huerta, who helped Chavez start the United Farm Workers in 1962. There's been swift fallout. Cities around the country have called for removing Chavez's name from public buildings and streets. Events celebrating his birth have been canceled, including Cesar Chavez Day in Milwaukee. In Madison, an elementary school is named after Chavez, and the school board announced it is aware of the investigation and gathering more information. To hear more, we have a panel of guests. Jocasta Zamarripa is a member of the Milwaukee Common Council. Jose Martinez is president and chief executive officer of UMOS, a Milwaukee-based social services nonprofit. And Armando Ibarra is a professor in the School for Workers and holds a joint appointment with Chicano and Latino Studies at UW-Madison. I talked with them earlier this week. Armando, let's start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about Cesar Chavez's role in the labor movement and his connection to Wisconsin, please?
So to talk about the UFW and Cesar Chavez as a standalone chapter in the history, in the larger arc of a social justice movement by farm workers is wrong. It's part of a larger movement of workers that's been in existence for quite some time. And no doubt that the era of the farm worker movement that was co-led by Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez is the most successful era in the farm worker labor movement to date. At their height, you know, they represented over 70,000 workers in California under collective bargaining agreements. This is, you know, as those of us that study these issues, is the ultimate form of labor representation on at the employment site within the U.S. setting. There's a real connection to Wisconsin as well, as most of us know here. The connection is one of solidarity and also one of parallel movements that were taking place during this historic time in the 60s of organizing amongst farm workers. We know that Cesar Chavez came to Wisconsin to ask that Obreros Unidos, that was being led by Latinos, Mexican-Americans, Tejanos, and when they were building their own union here in Wisconsin, to act in solidarity with the UFW during those great boycotts of the 1960s and early 70s.
I want to get reaction out of this news of Cesar Chavez. Jose Umos has a long history in Wisconsin and has advocated for Latino agriculture workers. What is your reaction and your organization's reaction to this report from the New York Times?
First, we are very deeply saddened by these disturbing news that came out regarding the allegations against Cesar Chavez and sexual abuse. But with that said, we, as many other community leaders across the nation, have ceased to participate in anything as it relates to Cesar Chavez. However, we continue to celebrate, and I tell folks it's important to celebrate the farm worker movement. For many years now, for over 15 years, we've always had a farm worker appreciation. It is not held in March, but it's held in August. This is when the farm workers are here in Wisconsin. So we can't be dismissive of this farm worker rights and movement. And yes, we're saddened by the aspects of what has happened, but we also uplift anyone who has been part of the farm worker movement. And I'll be dismissive not to say something, but you know what? Nuestras mujeres, they were valiant to share their story. This secrecy and silence and this ability for them to disclose was so important. And, you know, if anything, we want to make sure that they know that they're not alone. We understand that many instances when they don't want to conceal what has happened to them, it's because they often go through self-blame, or in some instances, they're afraid of what they're going to say to them. But, you know, I want to be the first, if I haven't said this before, that they're not alone. You are not alone in this fight. We are here. The community is here to support you. And if you need to reclaim your voice to be able to speak out against sexual assault and violence, you have people that will stand by you and say, yes, your silence, your pain, you should not go it alone with yourself. Because we are here to support, we are here to help you, we are here to uplift you. So yes, it may have taken this long for individuals to come forth, So whatever it lies, it is important for anybody to speak out and for them not to be in despair and say that this is something that I can should take to my grave. No, it is important to speak out, because the more we speak out against sexual abuse and violence, then we have a fortitude and opportunity to stop it, because it is this is something that we need to stop.
And Jocasta, as an alder, you're representing a community that has a strong presence here in the Latino community. Can you tell us a little bit about how people in your district and your neighborhoods are responding to this news?
Well, this news was devastating for us just a little less than a week ago. The news broke, and I've been in two meetings in the last few days to discuss the fallout here and what needs to be done immediately. And there was an immediate reaction in support of the survivors, Dolores Huerta, and, you know, Ana Murguia, Deborah Rojas. Certainly, I feel like there was a swell of emotion and certainly a desire to support those survivors. And then some really immediate decisions calling for things like the removal of our street, Cesar Chavez Drive on Milwaukee's near south side. And El Rey owners and leaders immediately moved to remove the statue that we had in the El Rey Plaza on Chavez Drive. These decisions were actions were taken very quickly, and it was quite breathtaking to see the speed at which the community moved around that.
And Jocasta, for that community, this notion that, okay, taking Cesar Chavez references down, but as we've heard from Jose and Armando, the spirit of what people had hoped that he had represented and the movement for labor and Latino people, how are people talking about trying to keep that spirit alive while moving away from this person as a symbol?
Right, exactly. We have to make sure. For instance, I mean, my first concern, we had an urgent meeting. The Cesar Chavez Bid Business Improvement District hosted an urgent virtual meeting. I know Mr. Martinez and I were in that meeting early Friday morning to discuss removing the name of the street, Cesar Chavez Drive, and reverting back to South 16th Street, which is what it formerly was. And my immediate concern and the concern that others expressed was we cannot lose, the identity of this street. I mean, Cesar Chavez Drive is known as the heart of the Latino district. I remember during redistricting, when I first got into elected office, we fought hard for them not to crack our district. And we talked about Cesar Chavez Drive being the heart of the Latino community. So we have a desire, and we made sure as we discussed legislation to remove the name that we would have include language that said we are committed to renaming the street something culturally appropriate that lifts up the supermajority Latino population.
Briefly, Armando, how do you see moving forward replacing these symbols related to Cesar Chavez with things that still honor the wider movement?
Yeah, those are that's called accountability. And I think that's the reckoning that's happening, not just in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Madison, but across the country. This reckoning where we are holding ourselves accountable as to how we respond to this New York Times story and everything that came out about the violence that Cesar Chavez perpetuated on these victims. We move forward, by holding these truths, these both of these truths at once, recognizing contributions that were made by the movement, but also by centering those who were harmed and strengthening accountability in our movements. We're seeing it happening today. Representative Samaripa just gave us an account of what's going on in Milwaukee. I know here in Madison, there's conversations about changing the name of a local school and some other public spaces. But also, we can continue to recognize the importance and the impact that the farm worker movement has had, not just on Latinos, but on the entirety of our society.
Jose, again, briefly, what do you want to see as you're doing things like literally renaming streets and districts and so much public iconography to, again, capture that spirit while moving on from this individual symbol?
First and foremost, the legacy is not based on one individual. The legacy we have to understand is based on many individuals, the sacrifices of millions of our workers in this country, because when folks were advocating, when they were in the marches, there were a lot of farm workers that were injured in the process. There were even some that were killed in the process. And so therefore, we have to be careful that we don't become dismissive of the sacrifices that millions and millions of farm workers have made. And when I talk about farm workers, I'm talking about African Americans. I'm talking about the Filipinos, because again, the farm worker movement was just bigger than Latinos. It involved everybody, and the impacts that when you go to the South, the African Americans that had benefited from the movement and as a result of that. So my biggest concern and fear factor is that somehow this becomes a wash and they say, well, you know, we have eliminated the leadership of the farm worker movement, so there is none that we can speak of. And I'm so concerned that somehow the history becomes washed because of we're washing one individual that we identified for the farm worker movement.
As we wrap up, Jocasta, as an alder, our guest has been talking, Jose was talking about the work ahead. What is ahead for you in the next couple of weeks as you deal with this fallout?
Well, immediately, I myself and President Jose Perez, the Common Council President here, put together a list of the various legislative actions that have been done over the years in honor of Cesar Chavez. We put together that list. It's about 8 or 9 legislative actions, and we are beginning already to rescind them. Just today, President Perez put forward an immediate adoption to make sure to rescind some supportive resolutions that we had put forward at one point in the early 2000s to support the creation of an optional state holiday observing Cesar Chavez's birthday. That was just today on the floor of the Common Council at City Hall. And in the coming days and weeks, we're going to introduce more legislation to continue the rescinding, revoking, and repeal of a variety of things we did here at the city to honor Cesar's legacy. But at the same time, we're meeting with constituents, community leaders, stakeholders to remind them that this doesn't mean that our Latino community and immigrant communities are going to be overlooked. If anything, now more than ever, we have to lift up our families and make sure that they know that they're not alone. We together are enduring this devastating loss, and we're together going to continue to lift each other up and celebrate our community.
We'll leave it there. Jocasta, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you all.
Jose, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you today.
And Armando, thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
Jocasta Zamarripa is a member of the Milwaukee Common Council. Jose Martinez is president and chief executive officer of UMOS, a Milwaukee-based social services nonprofit. And Armando Ibarra is a professor in the School for Workers and holds a joint appointment with Chicano and Latino Studies at UW-Madison. We've been getting their reactions to the news about labor and immigrant group leader Cesar Chavez after recent revelations about accusations of sexual abuse and grooming.